If you know him, you'll get to be there. Amen. And if you don't know him today, I pray that you will. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Mark, chapter number 9. Mark, chapter number 9. And we want to share with you from the Word of God this morning, and appreciate you so much being here in the house of the Lord. One, two, three. You know what? I think when we've got a dead battery, it's red. And I'll just stay right here this morning. Thank you for that. Amen. Well, I'm sure glad again that you're here this morning. Amen. Appreciate you being in the house of the Lord. And Brother Roland had a little order of service, said he was old. He forgot things. Well, he needs to write out my announcements for me too. I forgot Judgment House, and that's big. I mean, that's something we all need to be praying about and looking forward to and asking God to bless. And so please pray for Brother Tim and battery. All right. Amen. You going to put me a little power in that? Amen. Appreciate that, Brother John. But Judgment House is coming up, and all those who are participating in it, I know that you've got instructions, but I'd like to ask all the church to really pray for that. I mentioned all our friends joining us and a guest on the internet and in the building. I forgot to mention Brother Eric Ollis is here this morning. They were not singing this weekend, and so he's here. And I appreciate Eric visiting with us. And Miss Patsy Thompson is back tonight. Today, she's been out in Montana? No. Colorado. Okay. Idaho. Okay. It's one of those states way out there somewhere. Amen. I knew where it was at. I just couldn't remember. I wanted me to write it down. But I'm glad she's back. And all the rest of you here this morning, we appreciate you being here in the house of the Lord. You have your Bibles open. The Lord laid this message on my heart sometime the first part of the week. It always amazes me at how he works and how he blesses. And I trust this will be a blessing to your heart this morning as we think together about some things together. In the beginning of this chapter is what is called the Transfiguration. Our Lord goes up on the mount there, and he takes his disciples with him. And as he goes up to those mount, and he's transformed before them, transfiguration, and his garments glow and he's radiant, and they see Moses and Elijah there. And it's, you know, Peter always got to say something, whether it's right or wrong. He's going to say something. So he said, Lord, this is a wonderful place. We ought to build three tabernacles and stay up here. Say, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But then the Bible says that they disappeared and the Lord only was there. And then they come down, and when they come down off the mountain, They have a situation here in chapter number 9. I want you to look at verse number 14, and I'm going to read slowly because it just dawned on me. I left my glasses. I did not mention JC and Peggy. Please remember to pray for them. They're just not been doing well, so please keep them in your prayers. Notice what it says in this passage of Scripture. When he came down to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people that were when they beheld him, watch this, they were greatly amazed. Now, as I was reading and studying this passage of Scripture, he's an amazing person. He was God incarnate in human flesh. He did an amazing thing. But most of the time, their amazement came after he did something. They were amazed at the feeding of the 5,000, amazed at the healing of different people. But in this occasion, when he came down and they saw him, they were amazed. So some of the commentators I read behind, and myself as well, there was something unique about that experience that day. Do you remember in the Old Testament when Moses went up on the mount to get the Ten Commandments, and when he came down, the Bible said his face was glowing so much, had to put a veil over him? Well, what he experienced up there was the radiation, radiated glory of God on him, and it was so bright that when he came down, he had the essence of that still on him. But here is the Son of God, and his glory was not an outward glory, but it was revealed from the inside. That's what they saw glowing. The glory that is in him is God himself. And so when he came back down, there was evidently some evidence of that still glowing on his face. But they were amazed when he saw him. I love that old song, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. When you think about what he did for you, it's amazing. All that he did for you. Notice again, it says when they were greatly amazed, and they running to him saluted him. And when he asked his disciples, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, it teareth him, and he forgiveth." He feareth, he goes on, "and he gnashed with his teeth and pined away and said," thank you, Charles. That's why I thought about J.C. J.C. always comes to a rescue. Thank you, Charles. And let me back up. I apologize. Verse 18, "and whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake unto thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?" And notice these four words. If you will underline these four words, I underlined these words in my Bible on Monday and highlighted it. It said, "Bring him unto me." This month's emphasis is on a new vision of bringing them in, bringing folks into the presence of God, and bringing them into the house of God. And he said, "Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit teareth him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long ago since this came unto him? And he said, "Of a child." He'd been this way for a child. So evidently he's not a little boy, maybe a teenager now, maybe a little older than a teenager, but from a young child, he had this problem. And oftentimes he hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, watch this, have compassion on us and help us. You see the plurality of that word, us? The boy is the one who has got the problem, but he said, "You help us." Because of the love connection between a father and his son, mom and the son, and God's people to one another, God blesses us. He revives us. He meets our need. And he said that if you'll touch him, it'll bless us. And so he said, "You have compassion on us." The father's been suffering with the son as much as the son. And he said, "If you have compassion, if you can, help us." And Jesus said to him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway, this is an awesome statement. Listen to it. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." God blesses faith, but he also blesses honesty. This man said, "Lord, I do believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. I know that in me that I have some doubt, but God, I'm depending on you. I want you to express your power. I want you to express your compassion. And I may not have enough faith, but I pray you do that and help my unbelief." Oh, what an awesome statement. He's honest with the Lord, not trying to put on a show. He's absolutely honest. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying to him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He's dead." And Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind cometh not forth but by nothing but prayer and fasting." Will you bow with me for just a brief word of prayer? Father, I want to thank you for the Holy Ghost this morning. Thank you for your presence. Lord, we don't depend on ourselves. We depend on you. And our Father, this Father's come and he bows before you. He comes and pleads with you.
And he said, if you can do anything, have compassion on us. And Lord, we know that you can do anything. And God, I pray that you'd move. We understand our Father that, Lord, it's the goodness of God and the grace of God that we'll not consume. That you show your goodness to us and you're gracious to us. And out of a compassionate heart, you so loved the world, you gave your only begotten Son. And now, Father, what you do for us, you do because you're holy, because you're all powerful. But God, you do it because you love us and you care about us. And when we hurt, Lord, you are moved with compassion. You suffer with us. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost to help us now as we, Lord, look at this passage of Scripture. And God, we'll thank you and praise you. Lord, I bow before you and confess that there's no good thing in me. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God, these people have come. They've had a long week. God, we've had long months. That a lot of things going on we don't understand. A lot of changes in jobs and family situations and all kind of problems. And God, they need to hear from heaven. They don't need to hear anything I've got to say. But God, they need you to speak to their heart. Lord, I pray you'd speak to them now. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I love this little statement. If you didn't mark it a while ago, these four words in your Bible, mark it, bring him unto me. Whatever your need is, you need to bring it to him. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Whatever that burden is, you need to bring it to him. In this case, it was a son. But he said, you bring it to me. Bring it to me. There's a song we sing, oh, what peace we often forfeit, all because we do not take everything to God in prayer. We wrestle with things. But he said, just bring it to me. Bring it to me. Matter of fact, you can take all of your care to him. He said in 1 Peter, cast all your care upon me. And I've explained, and some other preachers have explained, that word cast is kind of a picture of a fisherman. The Bible says that when they came by, they saw the fishermen casting their net. And what they were doing, it means that they cast it and they release it and let it go. And he said, you just turn them all to me, release it. Come unto me, bring him to me, bring your burdens, bring your cares. In this passage of Scripture, it's this particular boy. And there's a situation here that you and I need to look at. But in this man's eyes, it was a hopeless case except for the Lord moving in. I'm sure through all these years, he's tried everything in the world he could do to help his son. But nobody could help him. He couldn't help him. And he comes to him. But I want to tell you right now, just as long as Jesus is alive, there's hope. If he's alive and he liveth forevermore, he is our hope, the Bible said. And whatever's going on in your life, it may have been going on for some time. It may have been something you battle with all your life. But I want you to know, God is able. And as long as Jesus is alive, he can still do it. You may have been praying for a family member for years. I've heard testimony after testimony of people. I prayed for my son for 35 years or 40 years. I prayed for my husband. I prayed for this person for years. And then God saved them. I'm glad that sometime I pray prayers and I see God do it almost instantly. But also in these several years that I've been preaching, I've been praying about things, and it was several years before I ever saw God do it. And there are things I've been praying about now for many years. God's not answered yet. But I'm going to keep on asking. I'm going to keep on seeking him. Somebody said, well, if you've asked him and you're still asking, you don't believe. Well, the Lord said, you pray without ceasing. You pray. It's not vain repetition if you carry it to him with a passion. You know what I'm saying? If it just gets to be you're just saying words, that's vain repetition. But if you say the same thing, you still got the same burden for your boy. You still got the same burden for your husband. You still got the same burden for your pastor. You still got the same burden for your church. You can pray it 24 hours a day if you still have that burden, if it's still real to you, and God will hear you. He may not respond immediately. He may just say, wait, but God's going to do that. And so here they come to the Lord, to this man to bring the child. Oh, listen, he said, how long has it been going on? He says, since he's a little boy, since he was a child, a little child. And if you've got children, you've got grandchildren, you need to start praying for them before they're ever born. Pray for them. Now, this parents here testify this fact. They were expecting a baby. And they were faithful to church. They come to hear me preach every Sunday night, Wednesday night or whatever. And then I would speak to them out in the hall or here in the congregation, and we'd talk, and we'd talk about the baby being born. And then whenever the baby was born, the first time I went up to him and spoke to him, the baby reacted like he knew me. And when I hold them to dedicate, it's like they knew me. I want to tell you something. That's conceived inside of you is of the God, and it's a person. It's a child. I think about Daniel and Danielle and those beautiful little girls, and it just breaks my heart to think that anybody would take that baby in the first few months or the 6 month, or even now, some of them will say it up to 9 months, and they can kill that baby. They can even have a birth, and if the parents decide after the birth they don't want it, that they had the prerogative to say, no, we don't want it, and it can be killed at that time. That's a horrible thing to even think about. But that, he said, when this little boy was a child, he began to have problems. And here you learn a lesson. You pray for him. You pray for those children before they're ever born. Pray for them when they're children. Pray for them when they get to those rebellious years. And remember you when you were a teenager. Remember the thoughts you had, what you did. Remember them and pray for them and love them through that. When they get to be young adult, they think they've grown smarter than the Bible and smarter than God. Don't quit praying for them. You keep on praying. Just keep on praying and believe in God, that God's going to do something. You believe God, and God will help you. You just keep on seeking God and praying for God to intervene and praying for God to do something in your life and in the life of your family. If you'll trust God, He'll do it. You believe God. You seek His face and believe and ask Him to do that. You don't ever quit praying for them. And as long as there's breath, there's hope. Some of you know that God's blessed us, me and Regina, with 5 children. Charles is here this morning. I don't know if Melissa's here this morning, and Becky and Avery. But our oldest daughter was named Christy. And Christy died with leukemia. And just before she's 3 years old, we were living here in North Carolina at that time, and they were treating her at Duke University, at the hospital at Duke. And when they diagnosed her with acute lymphatic leukemia, the doctor said she may live 5 days, she may live 5 years, but she's not going to live. She's going to die. And all my heart sank, my wife's heart sank. We were in church and rededicated life to the Lord. We're living for God. But oh, listen, that was a heart-rending thing to think about that precious little girl. I wish you could have seen her. You'll get to see her one of these days when we all get to heaven. And I'll meet you, Brother Roland. Thank you for that song. But you know, my brother was a colonel in the Army. And he told me, he said, Billy, I'll pay for her to go anywhere in the world to get treatment. And I went back to Uke, and I was so excited. I told that doctor, I said, Doc, my brother said he'd pay for her to go anywhere in the world and get treatment. Here's what he said. I won't ever forget it. He said, Billy, if you had all the money in the world, it wouldn't do you any good. He said, there's no cure for it. And he said, if it was a cure, we'd know for it here at Uke. We'd know about it if there was a cure anywhere in the world. And again, our heart sank, and I said, you're saying there's no hope. And he said, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's no cure. But he said, as long as she's alive, as long as she's breathing, there's hope. We may find it tomorrow, we may find it the next day, but it may be that she will. That wasn't God's plan for her. God took her home to heaven. But as long as there's breath, there's hope. Don't you give up. Don't you give up on your kids when they go rebellious and turn away from you the truth of the Word of God in their teenage years. Even when they're young adults and they get jobs and they're busy and you burden over and you're breaking, your heart's broken over, don't give up on them. Just keep on praying. Just keep on seeking God and asking God to bless. In this passage of Scripture, the Lord asked him when it happened, and it's evident from this, it was demonic activity. But all sickness is not demonic. All sickness is not satanic. You remember Lazarus? He was the friend of Jesus. He was sick. That wasn't demonic. There are people all through the Bible. Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever, and the Lord healed her. And so all sickness and all those things are not because of demon. I've been talking about every level. every level of things. There's people who have all kind of a physical problem. Throughout the Bible, there were those who had physical maladies. Man born blind. I read it just the other day. And the disciples said, who did sin, this man or his mom or his family? And see, all sickness is not because of sin. God's people can be as faithful to God as anything and still have problems, still get sick. Job was a man after God's own heart in all the world. There was not a more righteous man than Job. And yet he lost all of his children in one day, lost all of his livelihood in one day, and then he lost his health from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. He was only one sore, and yet he was in God's will. Can you imagine that? And he said in this, his wife was brokenhearted, and don't throw rocks at her. It's her children that died too. This is her husband suffering with pain. And she said, why don't you curse God and die? He said, I'm not going to do that. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He was right with God, and yet he had this disease that covered him from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. But he walked with God. He's faithful to God. All disease isn't demonic. All disease isn't because of sin. You live in an environment of sin. Anybody in this room could get COVID tomorrow. Hope nobody in this room gets COVID tomorrow. But it doesn't matter whether you're saved or lost. Can God protect you? Yes, He can. But does God have a plan? Yes, He does. I wonder why God did this. I noticed this man said, Lord, if you can have compassion, help us. Sometimes God allows things to happen in my life and your life to show us that He's our only source. He's our only hope. And so here's this man who's come to the place that everything else is out of way. Everything else is unexhausted. But he believes Jesus can. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. But then also, there are bystanders who are watching. And sometimes God lets things happen in your life for people standing around you. There were people there who were following Jesus. They saw all this. They watched. And the Bible said there were many who believed on the Lord because of what happened. I know of people, my friend, when they've watched people suffer, they watch Christians die. God's done a wonderful thing. Just personal reference, but it could be anybody. But the day we buried our little girl, my mama called me and she said, my brother Howard, who's 7 years old, and I said, Howard's coming over there and said, he's weeping. And she said, I don't think it's just sorrow. She said, I think he's under conviction. My brother wasn't saved at the time. And when he came, my father-in-law and I talked with him about the Lord. We talked about just Christian, about other things just in general to talk with. And when we just had general conversation, he made this statement, Billy, I've seen something in you and Regina and the folk from this church, Calvary Baptist Church, that I don't have. And that day in my father-in-law's living room, my brother gave his heart to the Lord. And sometime you'll go through suffering and you'll go through pain with yourself and with your family, and folks are watching you. They're watching you. And sometimes God lets those things happen to be a blessing to some others. He'll use that. He said he'd make Abraham a blessing, and he can make you a blessing. I saw a statement not long ago and Charles Spurgeon said, sovereignty has many servants. That means God has many servants. Sometimes he sends rain. Sometimes he sends drought. Sometimes he sends blessing. Sometimes he sends sickness. But in all those are the servant of a sovereign God, and He has a purpose in it. And so you may be going through some things right now you don't understand, and it may not even be for you. It might be for somebody else. It might be for other people around you. They're watching you. And through what you go through and how you react and what God does in your life, it'll bless them. But then the disciples were there, and God may have let it happen for them. Back when you read the story of Lazarus, they sent word to Lazarus, said, he who thou lovest is sick. And he stayed around 2 more days, and then they had a 2-day journey there, 4 days. And when he got there, he's already dead and in the grave. And both of the sisters said, Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. Well, that could have been true. He could have done that. But that wasn't his intent. He had a reason for it. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That wonderful truth that he spoke to them has echoed through time. And my dear friend, your testimony, what God does, it affect you. But his disciples, he made this statement. He said, let's go to where he's at. And he said, he sleepeth. And they said, if he's sleeping, he does well. And then he said to them plainly, he's dead. He's dead. And then he goes on and makes a statement. He said, and I'm glad for your sake that we didn't go immediately, because they were fixing to learn a lesson. And for those who know Christ, you learn lessons through adversity. You learn lessons through things that's going on in your life. You'll learn to walk in darkness. You'll learn to trust God by faith. You'll learn to just look to Him and trust Him. And also, it may reveal in my situation, your situation, our lack of prayer and our lack of power. And there was a reason for that. These disciples needed to learn. There's a little simple statement here that I underline. It says, back in verse number 18, it said, we have brought our son. He said, I brought my son. And he said, I spake to your disciples, and they could not. He wanted them to cast the demon out, but they could not. I underline that because somehow I read between the lines there. I read between the lines that here this great group of people, and here's this man who had a son, and here are these disciples of Jesus, and somehow or another they felt like that they were unique and different than anybody else. And it kind of seems to me that they had forgot that without him they could do nothing. And maybe they thought that they could do it, but then they ask a question, why could we not do that? Why could we do not? Oh, listen. God has a plan, and it's all kind of things goes on in your life, good things, bad things. But notice the outcome of all of this. The boy's healed. He's perfectly whole. The mom and dad are rejoicing and praising God. The people around believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the disciples learn a wonderful lesson about prayer and fasting. All of it worked for good. God had a plan. The devil might have meant it for evil, but God had a plan. Worked it out. I love that little phrase, bring him to me. Bring him to me, unto me. Bring him unto me. Just three little things. All that was introduction. Here's the emphasis, the application. Number one, bring him to me. We need to bring our loved ones to him in prayer. Take them in prayer. I've emphasized that already in the message. You bring them to prayer, bathe them in prayer, your family, your friends, your neighbors, lost people. Pray, ever pray without ceasing. Take them to Jesus in prayer. Don't forget about it. Don't get frustrated about it. Sometimes you just get all flustered about things ain't working, they're not paying any attention, or they don't care. But you take them to prayer every time. Take them to the Lord in prayer. Number two, you need to take them to the presence of the Lord. Now, he's in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. You say, Brother Billy, how in the world can I take him into the presence of God? I'm glad you're here today, because that's what I'm talking about. He said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. You need to try every way you can to keep your family in the presence of God, around God's people, around the house of God. Keep them in his presence. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And when you get them close to God, when you get them close to where the people are singing, I listened to Brother Roland's testimony a while ago. Some of you just like that. As in your childhood, you trusted Christ. Some of you young people right now, you're thinking about what God did for Roland. And you bring him, bring your care, bring your bird, bring your family into his presence, and bring it where he's at. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in glory. And he tells us this, you now have access. You can come before the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Go into his presence. Bring them into his presence around the house of God, where they hear the testimony of the saints of God, where they hear the singing about God's mercy and grace, where they hear people singing about heaven, and I'll meet you there. all those things God uses. In the book of Colossians, said it ministered to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song. And Craig ministered to me this morning. He ministered to me, and the medley of songs he sang, every one of them was special. Had never heard of that last part. That was great, great. He is faithful. Boy, that'll stay in your mind. He's faithful. How many of you know that you get song? Have you ever wondered? I was watching an old cowboy movie the other day because there ain't nothing else on TV to watch. I'm about to decide if it's in color, it ain't fit to watch. You watch them, and if you don't notice, you won't notice it. There's always music. Always. There's always music. They're riding a horse, there's music. You know, they're climbing a mountain, there's music. They're whatever they're doing, there's music. It's there. It's all around. You know? Do you understand that music gives a message? There's a message in the music. And that meant speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Teach those children. Becky was telling us today that Cassidy's in preschool. They were sitting at the table and she was just singing. I'm not sure what she was singing, but she was just singing. And that little boy beside her, he's afraid they were going to get in trouble because they wasn't supposed to be talking. But he told her, he said, "We're going to get in trouble." They're just 3 years old, you know. But she kept on singing. And you know, when you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it accounts the details of Christians throughout the year that have died for their faith, throughout the ages that have died for their faith. And then they take them and they tie them to stakes and anoint them, put oil on them and set them on fire. Nero would do that in his garden. He had human torches all through his garden burning Christians. They'd burn them at the stake. And I was reading through Fox's Book of Martyrs, and they said the testimony of those Roman soldiers and others who executed or put these people to death, such horrible deaths, is the singing. When they held them in the dungeon down there below the Colosseum, just before they ran them out into the Colosseum with no weapons, nothing, and then released lions and tigers, and the people in the stands just cheered while the lions and the tigers ripped their bodies to shreds and ate those Christians. You know what they said that haunted the people who saw that? Is inside of those places before they ever came out, they were singing songs, echoing through those caverns, singing about the grace of God, singing about the faithfulness of God. And those songs haunted them over and over again. My dear friend, when you bring somebody into the presence of God, into the house of God, it may be a testimony. It may be a song that gets in their heart, minister to one of the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, my dear friend. But then in the presence of God in His precepts. I've been studying Psalms 119 for the different, and it gives many different titles for the Word of God, but one of them is His precepts. The Word of God are the precepts of God. You bring them to them in the precepts of God. Share the Bible with them. Read the Bible with them. Get it in their heart. Read the Word of God. Again, I don't know why I'm doing this. I had no idea I'd even say these things to you this morning. But our little girl, Christy, who died, she spent the night with my mama just a short time before she died. And mama didn't tell me right off the bat, and she just didn't want to tell me. But sometime after Christy had been dead, she said, "Billy, the night Christy stayed with me, mama had a old bed, yeah, bookcase bed. Everybody remember bookcase bed? You had a bookcase at the head of your bed. Mama had a big old black Bible up there, and I've got it at home right now. And she said, Christy cried, climbed up in the middle of that bed, reached up there and pulled that black Bible down. And mama said, she turned around and looked at her, and she said, "Granny, read to me about Jesus like my daddy does." She's not quite 3 years old, but she knew Jesus was somewhere in this book. And I'll tell you, you'll find Him in this book. He said, "Search the Scriptures, for them you think you have eternal life. They are they which speak of me, which testify of me." You bring them in prayer. Bring them into His presence. Bring them into His precepts. Share the Word of God with them. Get it down deep in their heart, and it'll change lives. We were talking a while ago, Denise and I, during the week, Regina saw it on Facebook that Dr. Charles Stanley stepped down as pastor. He's 88 years old. Now, he's got a huge ministry with In Touch, and he said, "I'm not retiring. I don't believe retiring." He said, "I'm going to just give more time to In Touch." But they already had a pastor that they had called to replace him. He was serving there kind of like an associate. But Dr. Charles Stanley will live a long time after he dies, just like Oliver B. Green and some of these other, J. Vernon McGee. They're still living. You know why? Because they preached and taught the Word of God. And he said, my Word is forever settled in heaven. It is His eternal Word. And He'll bless His Word. And so when you sow that Word of God into them, he said, my Word will not return void. So you bring them to Him in prayer, bring them into His presence, get around the people of God, the house of God as much as you can, and get them around the Word of God as much as you can. Believe that God's going to do something. You and I have responsibility for bringing them in. And I believe we need to reach as many people as we can in these last days. It's not going to be done by social events and all those things. What they need is the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Trust God to do something. In my mind's eye, I wonder what that afternoon was like for that family. Here's this boy, since he was a little boy, had been tormented with this demon. And all of a sudden, he's changed radically. All of a sudden, he's set free. Oh, can you imagine the rejoicing, the praising, the blessing, the testimony he was? My dear friend, bring your burdens to him. Bring your children to him. Bring your family to him. Bring your loved ones to him, and he'll take care of them. He has invited you to come to him. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Will you come to him this morning? Let's bow our heads together in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Brother Roland's going to come and he'll, if it's all right, Brother Roland, I have you to sing a verse of that invitation hymn you had there, if you don't mind. While we have our heads bowed, our eyes are closed. Jesus said, bring him unto me. I'm telling you right now, if you'll take your burden to him, if you'll take your care to him, if you'll take your family to him, he will do something. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but you'll see it. I'm thankful for what God's done in my family. We've had as much problems and more than most people have, still have them. But I'm telling you right now, I still believe this book. I still believe God's able. I still believe God can do things. And I pray this morning the same prayer of that man. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. But the issue is this. If you'll come to Jesus with it, you need to come to Jesus this morning. You're here this morning in the building. You could not testify what Brother Roland testified a while ago, that you'll be in heaven, that you'll get to see your loved ones there. Look for me at Jesus' feet right there in the middle of the whole thing. If you died right now, you don't know you'd go to heaven. You're in the building or in the internet or didn't see the one. Can I encourage you right now to come to him? He makes a simple statement that it ought to just motivate you. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You say, Brother Billy, you don't know what I've done, but he does. Because you see, on Calvary's cross, he bore all of your sins in his own body on the tree. He already knew you. He already knew every sin you would ever commit. And he died for all of your sins before you were ever born. He's already paid that sin debt. Now you need to turn to him by faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Jesus asked this man, all things are possible if you can believe. Do you believe this morning you're a sinner? Do you believe that Jesus died for your sin? Then turn to him by faith and receive him right now. I wonder if there's somebody in the building, young person, adult, you'd say, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven, but I want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand right now across the building? Let me just remember you in prayer. Anybody that's not saved in the building, well, let's do a different thing. If you're here this morning, you said, Brother Billy, I have a burden. I have a care, maybe a family member, maybe something in your life, maybe whatever it is. I want to tell you, whatever it is, if you'll bring it to him, he can take care of it. And I ask you this morning, If you have a need, a burden, a care, would you raise your hand and say, I want to bring it to Jesus this morning? Would you do that? Praise God, all over the building. I have both my hands up. We're going to surrender His will. I love this song He's singing. Listen to it a minute.
Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now.
For those who don't know Christ, He'll wash you white as snow. He'll sing another verse for us who know Christ. Have your own way, Lord.
Have to congregate so close, to just pray. Do you feel comfortable doing that? One more verse, brother, if you don't mind. Listen to this verse. For me and you. For me and you. Every bit of me, I want to be in His will. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You this morning that God, when all hope appears gone, if we'll just bring it to Jesus, You can take care of it. Our Father, we trust You. We know what You're able to do. God, I pray for every need. Lord, so many, many hands in this building. But God, You're need-meeting God. You're all-sufficiency. You're El Shaddai. You can meet every need we've got. God, we're going to trust You now. We pray, God, that You'd bless these many friends here in the building and in the internet audience. And we have many friends who watch us on a regular basis that I know have been going through months and even years of physical problems, sickness. And Lord, it just seems that it's just never ending. But God, You're a God of grace. And Lord, You can bless us here. But Lord, we are sure glad that heaven is a real place, and that one of these days we won't have to worry with any of this anymore. No more problems, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears in heaven for all eternity. Now, God, help us to love You, love one another. God, give us a burden to bring them in. Help us to bring people to You, bring our children, our family, our loved ones, our neighbors, to bring them to You. And God, trust in You'll do something for them. Lord, I want to thank You for this great church. Thank You for the many guests and visitors we got here this morning. And I pray, God, that they've been helped and blessed by the singing of the Word of God. And God, for all our friends again in the internet audience, for so many of our church family that are joining us through the internet ministry, we love them and pray for them. God bless us now. Have Your own way in all of our lives. And we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.